This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. Why don't you talk to me?
Good evening, my name is Tessa and you're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9, Joy's all-female current affairs program. Co-hosting with me tonight are the lovely Kathy and Nicola. Hi, ladies.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not Kathy?
You are Tess, aren't you?
I am... What?
I'm just checking that you're Tess.
Her hair's shorter. Yeah. She's a little bit taller and probably about 15 kilos lighter, so I'm pretty sure your name's Tess.
Are you having identity issues, Nicola?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure, you know. I was expecting Kathy to be speaking there and I looked in the wrong direction. I was like,
We planned to trick you all night, Nicola.
Yeah. We did rock, paper, scissors to do the introduction.
And technically, 5 seconds before we started. If that's not living on the edge, I don't know what is.
I love it. And technically, I think I had the scissors, you had the paper, so I think I won, which meant
that you should. Well, we didn't decide. Anyway, clearly the listener doesn't understand this game, and we just sound like a bunch of losers. Today we'll be chatting to Gabrielle, the project coordinator of Take There Out There, which is Orso's sexual health community engagement project. So that should be really interesting, talking lesbian sexual health and all that.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think we're going to talk about a whole range of programs and initiatives that particular program's doing, but also we're going to address the wider issue of lesbian sexual health and general health and wellbeing, which is probably one of the most underrated and undiscussed topics in our community.
Yeah, I was about to say, lesbian sexual health? What's that? Never hear it mentioned
it's
very much.
It's a great mystery, and hopefully we'll be able to get Gabrielle to unravel some of that and get some feedback from people, because I really want to know from our listeners tonight what they think lesbian sexual health means, what the dangers are, what the risks are, what measures they take
to keep themselves...
Tidy.
Internally, ladies, internally.
And clean and...
And clean, exactly.
Safe and safe.
So I suppose this is the point where we'd normally get into the news. So what have we got on this week?
Well, gay marriage is all in the papers at the moment. We know that the ACT passed its civil unions bill recently, which allows gay couples to have a civil union ceremony with an actual ceremonial component, which is a sticking point with the federal government. It's yet to the federal government's yet to decide whether or not they'll veto it, which they have the power to do. So that's everyone's sort of going, yay, isn't that great? What small step forward? Let's just see what Kevin Rudd and his Attorney General decide to make of it.
I can't help being sceptical at the moment. I can't help feeling that they're just going to do something to throw a spanner in the works. I'm refusing to allow myself to become hopeful.
Well, the opposition are saying that shifting the marriage amendment bill, or putting that through, what's the correct terminology? Would enable polygamy, polygamous.
Because this is a growing thing at the moment, because ACT has just passed its civil unions bill. There's been the Senate inquiry at a federal level, which has just finished. All of the 26,000 submissions, two-thirds of which were apparently one-liners from Christian lobby sites saying gay marriage is evil or something of a similar vein.
Wow, how insightful.
Yeah, like a really mass email hate campaign, very mature of them. But that report's about to be handed down. Of course, we're going to have the national rally or the march next Saturday, the 28th. So... But one of the there is an opposition. Liberal Senator Guy Barnett says that the bill, which was introduced by the Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young, could legalise polygamy because the wording includes the expectation that it's to the exclusion of all others and for life. But the new bill doesn't include that. So by default, the assumption must be that those people promoting gay marriage do not believe in it in exclusivity and do not believe in longevity.
Well, I can see that's, you know, a little bit of an oversight maybe on the part of the bill makers, you know, not quite getting that wording right. You know, anything that you can give the church ammo for, they're probably going to use it. But at the same time, longevity. Isn't that an interesting thing to be disputing when 50% of marriages, as it stand, now ending divorce.
Is it only 50%?
It's 50%.
Isn't it more than half?
No, I think oh, roughly. The official statistics.
Yeah, 52%.
50. But you know, they can't they can't say that one is, you know, doesn't promote longevity when half of them aren't working at the moment. So.
Well, this is one of the, I think this is a problem with the stereotypes that a lot of straight people have about gay relationships, that we're all just out to have lots and lots of sex with, you know, anonymous partners, and nobody even ever sticks in long-term relationships.
Yeah.
Ever. And it's quite beyond us.
Wrong person. I'm the wrong one to be talking to about monogamy right now.
We don't have capable relationships, though. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Those kind of things really, really annoy me. It's kind of like the pot and the kettle, you know, that whole kind of you guys won't last.
So we're not going to give it to you anyway.
Yeah, your bill doesn't even say right, so you've got no chance.
It gets stuffed.
According to the London National Academy for Parenting Practitioners study, lesbians make better parents. The study showed that children with two female parents were actually seen to be more aspirational than those with opposite sex parents. So I'm not really sure what that means, two women build into their child, like just a lot of nurturing or something like that.
Oh no, these kinds of polls, you know, like I don't get it. Like, because in the same story, Anne Mitchell, who's a very respected researcher in Melbourne, she's from the La Trobe University, said that Australian study showed kids were mostly no better or worse off for having lesbian or heterosexual parents. So
yeah, but she's saying that the quality of the parent is more quality of the parenting more is more important than the gender. But isn't it interesting to look at trends? I mean, that's what we're looking at here. There's no.
I don't really care whether we're better. It's just important that we're recognised as being just as capable and loving parents who produce, you know, healthy, balanced children as anyone else.
Sure. What are you? You're having like a good crack at the eyeball rolling Olympics over there.
Am I?
Yeah. Oh. What's going on with that?
I didn't realise. Maybe I've got a lazy eye. Sorry. Thanks, Kathy.
So what you're saying, you're just a bit over that whole, well, it doesn't matter, but we should be just able to. The recognition is not as.
No, I think that looking at this study, I mean, this academy from the UK seems to be one of a kind in terms of the sort of studies it does on parenting. And I think it's quite interesting to look at the effect that two females can have on a child. I mean, yeah, you can't say two females are like any other two females, but obviously there are traits that we all share. And doubling up on that is probably quite... You can draw out some lessons from that.
I do like the bit that said that children of lesbian parents are no more or less likely to have tendencies towards homosexuality. That's actually a really great finding, because everyone's, you know, well, Christian lobbies and stuff have said for years that we're trying to recruit. Well, surely if we were trying to recruit, we'd start with their own kids first.
Yeah.
If you're going to brainwash anyone, you're going to go for the ones that are in the house with you.
So yeah, it said it showed that they were just generally more tolerant of homosexuality, which obviously
goes part and parcel
with growing up with that.
It's got to be a given. I reckon this whole thing about lesbians being better parents is the fact that they actually want kids and they're not too, you know, too young daros and living in a trailer park or wherever, who just get, you know, accidentally get themselves knocked up and then have to, you know, drag up a child because they've got no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
The
heterosexual privilege, hey, that they can just make that happen like that. You know, it has to be...
people.
Oh, hell. The breeders. Yeah, no, it has to be entirely premeditated if you're in a same-sex relationship, so...
Hmm. Well, yeah, you've got to be really prepared, which is, you know, and sure. So, I think it's a nice study. It's nice that we're getting...
We were about to say win.
And it's good. The best.
It's good these issues are getting mainstream support. That story was actually the front page of MX. In this week, so that was a big step forward. Right, moving on before we talk more about that. Bent TV.
To another one of your personal interests, Scotty.
One of my personal interests. Bent TV has got a digital license. I don't know if anyone's been looking at Bent, or if everyone watches Channel 31, or Bent Channel 31 got the license. The government had basically given out a whole heap, but had put community broadcasters on the back burner. So recently they just got an allocated space on the digital broadcasting spectrum.
Well, that's fantastic, because there's no way that Channel 31 would ever be able to raise the funds to purchase their own digital license. It has to be government supported, otherwise it just wouldn't happen, right?
It costs an amazing amount of money to put, put a TV show, put a TV network to air. And let's face it, unless the shows on Channel 31, including Gay Newsweek, which is very exciting, on Bent TV, or all of those shows, they do look a little bit like we've made them up in our own lounge room, you know, which is partly
to do
with budget.
They're organic, Kathy.
It's cottage TV, but at least they'll look better.
So the government is putting in $2 million, is it, to move the station onto digital transmission, which will be all stations by 2013. I didn't know that. Does that mean no more
rabbit's ears?
No more rabbit's ears?
No, that's quite good. Good. $2 million is a lot to raise the Lamington drives and stuff too as well. So it's a good kick out. Thanks, Kev. They've changed the signature now. Have you noticed? It was like, give us a fair go, Kev. Had a watermark for a long time and now it's thanks, Kev.
Thanks, Kev.
All I need is a little
thumbs up.
It's great news for minority programming as a whole that the community stations are being supported, because a lot of the time the bigger TV stations don't tend to cater for the smaller groups. So. Yeah,
but some of our biggest TV personalities have come from community stations, haven't they?
Yeah, like Rove.
Didn't Rove and Peter Hellyer have a show together on Channel 31?
Yeah, they did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, and then
breeding
talent. 10 years later, he's bowing out.
Bowing out.
Radio.
Well, the next story is one very close to my heart, actually.
It's and home.
And home, yes, good one. The Australian Sex Party have thrown their hat in the ring to contest the federal seat of Higgins, which includes Perrins, South Yarra, Toorak, Armidale, loads of a big. It's actually quite a big area that it actually includes,
and a big gay area too.
Yes, yes.
We all live there.
we
live in the seat of Higgins.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, the interesting thing was, I mean, I was quite surprised when I heard that Labour weren't going to be running a candidate for the seat. I found that quite surprising that they weren't even going to try and contest it. Basically, the seat's been held by the Liberals for a long, long, long time.
Mm. Used to be Peter Costello's.
Yep, and it would need a swing of 7.1% to go to another party, you know. And basically, I think Labour have gone, it's not going to happen, and not even bother putting up a candidate. The Greens have, and the Sex Party have. Now, I think the Sex Party have actually got... I'm not going to say they're going to take the seat. I think it's going to be very difficult for such a small party to take that seat. But I do think that they've actually got a chance of getting quite a big number of votes, because, I mean, there is a huge gay population in that area, and they're actually offering to do things that are going to benefit gay people.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the things that we were talking about off air, about small, you know, novelty parties in this way. When I used to live in Sydney, I remember there being a time when the lower house and the upper house, we had our state election, and the voting sheet was so long because there were so many little minority parties. There was the party, the fisherman's party, you know, the let's grow our own dope in our own backyard party, you know, the sex party. I know they have really gay friendly policies, and I know that they promote a whole lot of, you know, very socially progressive initiatives, but is it really something, is it like another, you know, Pauline Hanson, like just another minority that's actually going to do anything?
Well, I don't know, maybe not, but the problem is that the alternatives are actually pretty poor that are on offer for the gay community at the moment. I mean, you've got the Liberals, we know what they think about, you know, gay rights, it's, you know, never going to happen. And then you've got the Greens, and the Greens, though they do support gay marriage and things like that, the guy that's actually running, Dr. Clive Hamilton, he's an interesting fellow, because he lives in Sydney for a start, rather than
inner East Melbourne.
And I've got his propaganda. I've met him and Kelly O'Dwyer at the train station on the way to work in the morning, and it was all about climate change. Now, I care about climate change, but not enough for that to be the sole reason that I'm electing someone to federal parliament to represent my area.
So you want to know what's in it for you as a local
as
person?
As everyone does.
As a local member, is that not the place to flog your, you know, socially inclusive points of argument? Like, isn't that where you want somebody to be, you know, supporting your family rights, what's happening in your house? And the Sex Party, I don't think it's one that's going to go away. I think you sent us a link to Sex Party a long time ago, and I joined up their newsletter, and it's fascinating. And I suggest anyone that is sort of interested in just... They're just all such intelligent people that are writing on that site, and their thinking is so forward. And it just makes sense, you know. Anyone that goes to the website, it's very difficult to refute anything that they're saying because it's all backed up just by logical, like, why isn't this the way that our country runs sort of stuff.
Well, it is run by a woman, and they are trying to field a lot more women candidates in the future. So, yeah, maybe I'll get proven wrong, and maybe I'll even vote for them if they're, you know, if, I don't know if I want to vote for a Greens again if they're living in Sydney and don't... You know, don't really seem to care too much because the swing's going to be too bad, so just fielding anybody.
Yeah, I think that the sex party, their biggest swipe at the Greens has been that Clive Hamilton supporting the national internet filter,
which is a load of rubbish.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of just, that policy.
Oh, I just don't like being told. And I don't like being told if I want to go and look at porn sites, I bloody well will. Do you know what I mean? Don't try and slow my internet down. Just because I've googled lesbian sex.
I feel there's even a song about that. The internet is for
porn.
Yes,
love it.
You're listening to Hear Me Roar, the station's first all-women current affairs program. My name's Kathy. Joining me are Nicola and Tess.
Yo.
And we've got a guest. It's
Hi.
Exciting. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Thank you.
Gabrielle is from also, and she's the project coordinator of Take Care Out There, the also sexual health community engagement project. You want to give us a rundown on what Take Care, it's always, you can't really say it.
Tongue twister.
Anyway, whatever that is,
Take Care
the project from here
there.
On in.
Sure. The project is actually a statewide project aimed at developing a GLBTI sexual health enabling culture and network. So broadly, I guess it's quite ambitious, but we're working in partnership with Country Awareness Network up in Bendigo, and I coordinate sort of the metro stream of the project, which is called Take Care Out There, and they run Take Care Out Back There.
Oh, so that's cool. I like the Out Back There.
Yeah.
It's a bit naughty, isn't it? So is it basically just an educational program to get people in rural as well as urban areas to pay more attention to their health and wellbeing and sexual health?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I wouldn't naturally go to call it an education program, but it is about getting people to talk about it and raising the dialogue. And I guess the exciting thing about it is that we get to go into sort of social spaces like sports and performance arts and try and work with groups to get sexual health as part of a normal conversation on their agenda in those kind of spaces. So
is this kind of the kind of program that also normally runs, or is this sort of one of a kind that you've never really...
We ran a pilot project about a year and a half ago for 6 months with queer sporting teams in Melbourne, and we ran sort of off the back of the Out Games, the Asia Pacific Out Games. Decided that, oh wow, this is a really growing area, so many people involved in sports, which is really fantastic, and it's sort of a nice natural sort of synergy, sports and health, that kind of thing. So,
okay. So it's not because there were, you know, thousands of athletes descending on Melbourne and everyone was picking up each other and getting
the candy. You see, I thought that was where you were going with it. I was like, maybe. Well, they did the auction off on eBay the other day, a leftover condom from the Olympics, apparently. Like, unused. But yeah,
that's
what's so good about that then?
The motto for that game was something like, better, faster, harder, stronger or something like that.
Longer,
very
stronger.
Punk. Yeah, so, yeah, apparently it sold for a wee bit.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry. That was great.
Where do we go from there?
So back
we
to give sport, them away
back
for
to
free.
Sports and health. So sports and health and sexual health, it naturally lends itself.
Yeah, well, so was it sexual health that you were doing with the athletes, or was it just women's health? Or
No, it was with mixed groups. So it was queer sporting groups, but it was men, women, some trans people. So generally just working with the sporting teams, we ran an event called the Sexy Playoffs. So I went out to all the sports teams and sort of workshop with them, well, what could you do for this day? And we had a trivia event where after they answered lots of sexual health trivia questions, they had to go up and give a demonstration.
Who won?
Very fun.
Which team won?
The Argonauts won.
Oh, the rowers. That'd be
but
right.
But there were some close contenders.
Because you did something like that. You had Miss STI and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's the running team that they did that. They did a beauty pageant.
Oh, had to put
Miss
on a performance.
And yeah.
Totally the way to go, though. Like, laugh about it, chat about it, feel comfortable about it. Let it maybe be sexy, sexual health, as opposed to sterile and, you know.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it, and I think that's a big sort of part of what we're
And is that carrying on now? What are the different aspects to the Take Care Out There program now?
Sure. Well, I guess just to answer your original question, if this is what Also normally does, we ran that and we thought, oh, that seemed to go well, so we weren't really sure what was the future of it. And I think after that, the conversation with Country Awareness Network started. And we've also got a reference group, so we work closely with the AIDS Council and PLWHA Victoria and Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. But I guess from that, we got to do a three-year project now, which is really exciting. But we've been working with performance arts groups, so yeah, we're definitely having some fun. The most recent, I guess, event that we had was the Back to the Bathhouse shows, which were on Wellington and Madame Brussels. So we sort of worked with those performers to, I guess, include a little bit of sexual health into the conversation that they were having in the show. It was sort of like a cabaret show. And, you know, gave out safe sex packs and interviewed the audiences and talked about it. So we're sort of normalising that in different spaces.
Yeah, okay. The elephant in the room, sexual health packs. Like, really, what does a lesbian sexual health pack have in it that a lesbian would actually use and not just be like...
Well, my take on it isn't that it's a lesbian sexual health pack. I shove everything there in together because I think that whether you're lesbian, whether you're gay, straight, whatever you are, it really depends on your practices and your decision making about what you want to do and whether you want to be really safe about that. Mm. So you might be a lesbian and want to use a condom for a sex toy, or you know, you might be a lesbian with lots of partners and you think, I'm going to use any kinds of the latex products. So I don't really separate them into lesbian and gay men. I try to unisex them up.
Okay. Oh. So those all the latex items, they are really encouraged by Also for sex in general.
For
women.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, really what our project tries to do is raise that as a part of the conversation. Like, if people have more access to information about what are the risks that as a lesbian I might face in my sexual encounters, then I can make a decision about whether or not I'm safe to use a latex barrier or not, or so on and so forth. So it's really about getting the information out there so people can make their own decisions. But yeah, go for it. Get some latex out.
Talking about sexual health packs, like a lot of us were just joking out outside the studio that the only time we see these things is when you get given a little pack or something at Midsummer or Girlfest or any of those big events. And the big, you know, the bigger question really is for lesbians in particular, there's a lot of information about HIV.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information for boys about, you know, not contracting anything and practicing safe sex.
Sure.
But for girls, it seems to me, it's one of those hidden things that you don't hear a lot about, and a lot of girls don't really seem to know much. They kind of just go with the flow.
Well, I just don't know how I would react if I went home with someone and all of a sudden they produced a dental dam. I'd be like, whoa, okay, what? Okay, let's discuss. And that's not something you really want to do when you've just got home.
Well, I know.
Someone.
Yeah, it's a total mood
killer.
It's good
to have the conversation now, or when you're playing sport, or when you're seeing a show.
Yeah, changes. Perceptions really need to be changed, because I feel exactly the same way. If somebody whipped out latex in front of me, I would, you know, I would probably laugh, and that is just, that's just kind of ingrained in me, and so it's probably a bit of a culture shift.
That comes from sex ed at school, I'm sure of it, because the only time I've had any education about any of that kind of stuff was in the context of maybe a classroom, and I can't even remember what was said because I was laughing so much. I was like giggling, ha ha ha, they said penis.
That's the thing, I wonder whether or not lesbians, bisexual women, same-sex attracted women, however you want to call us, are we just really lazy about sexual health because we don't, as a general rule, have sex with men?
I don't think it's about being lazy. I mean, you might be lazy, but I don't think that's really.
On their
I don't think that's really fair. I mean, if there's, I mean, I perceive, and I hear from a lot of women that I work with, that there is a lack of information and people are unsure. Do I need to protect myself? Is there any STIs that could affect me if I only have sex with women? You know, is that relevant for me? And I guess there is some STIs that women can get even if they only have sex with women. And there's some health conditions that are more common in lesbian women than heterosexual women. So it's just about us being able to get that information out there, really, because if there isn't a lot of information, then people don't know what to choose. And maybe that's lazy, but maybe
it's a misinformed
lack
decision.
Of provision. Mm. Yeah.
Well, what kind of things? Because you're right. I know it's definitely. I've heard people say, "I only sleep with women. I've got nothing to worry about."
Mm.
What kind of things could people catch?
I'm sure. Well, lesbians can still catch like chlamydia, herpes, thrush, but it also is about potentially thinking about if your partners have all only been with women as well. Like, there's different kind of levels, and yeah, those things can be transferred between women, and some sexual practices are higher or lower risk than others. But I think it's great for us to be talking about it and getting the information out there, because...
All right, well, what sexual practices are more high risk than others? Let's take a dive into the deep end.
Yeah, sure. Well, anything that might involve blood is always high risk and can be a risk of HIV or hepatitis or any blood-borne viruses being transmitted.
And vampirism is very trendy right now.
That's a nod out there to all the Twilight fans.
Yeah, watch out for that. So I guess... any kind of more hardcore sexual encounters, or any sex where, you know, there might be residue of your period, those kinds of things, people might not think of them as the first, you know, thing on your mind when you go to have sex, but, you know, different people partake in different practices.
So. God, like, I'm a very confident, outgoing person, but if I picked up somebody and went home with them, I would still feel really uncomfortable bringing up anything to do with using these sort of mechanisms to make my sex with them safe.
Yeah.
It is a very difficult thing to talk about.
Yeah, and I guess some of the information that I've read from some other agencies than our own, but like I would advocate as well, is about when women communicate with each other, or anyone in a new relationship communicate with each other outside the bedroom and like beforehand, and kind of even if it's in a joking way or any way to make it comfortable to sort of raise those topics, so your partner or potential partner knows that you're thinking about keeping yourself safe and healthy.
Well, actually, it's interesting. You see, when I met my current partner, I actually went and got myself completely checked out.
High five pics
before. Yeah, well, no, I did. Yeah. I thought, you know, better to be. I really like this chick, and can maybe see some going somewhere. So I just want to get everything checked before I kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I wonder whether that's something that lesbians do, because I did the same thing as you and just went and got the whole range, because I'd never been tested for chlamydia, and as we all know, that's the silent killer. Like, it don't show symptoms of it, but it could lead to, you know, infertility and all those sort of nasty things. But how often should women in same-sex relationships go and get themselves tested, or whether they consider doing something like that?
I think that it's really good to have an open dialogue with your medical professionals. Some women find it really hard coming out to like their doctor and that kind of thing, and might avoid questions relate to like what kind of contraception do you use and that sort of thing. But if you are quite sexually active, or especially if you have a number of partners, then it's great to have a test, you know, every few months. But obviously it just depends on the relationship, on you know, what kinds of exposures that you've had. But definitely keeping that regular if you are, you know, quite sexually active is a great idea, because then you can be confident and comfortable, you know what's going on with your body. So
all right, so we're chatting about Take Care Out There, which is a sexual GLBTI sexual health initiative.
Yep.
Funded by DHS, isn't it?
Yep, that's right.
That's fantastic. So was that a continuation of funds from the government to continue something that already begun, or was that a grant at the beginning?
No, it's sort of a new project, but I guess it has some links to that pilot project that we were just speaking about a few minutes ago, that we ran with the sporting team. So that was kind of like a, you know, let's give it a try and see what happens, and then we developed the partnership. So it's a new one.
One of the things I've noticed that you guys have done is potentially the smallest booklet in the world. Is that so that people take it with them in their pocket, and then when they don't know something that's going on or what the right way to respond is, they can run off to the toilet, pull out their little pocketbook and use it like a manual?
We are making a bigger one because some people can't read it.
Yeah, you're just discriminating against the
visually impaired.
So we're beefing it up a bit.
That one has some. That booklet has some pretty scary statistics about lesbians. We're more likely to have polycystic ovarian syndrome. We suffer more physical, emotional, sexual abuse than straight women, and we also drink, smoke, and do more drugs than straight women.
I'd just like to thank Dr. Ruth McNair because she actually put together the content for that booklet, and she's done a lot of research in this area, and she's really, you know, quite amazing. But yeah, there's some tough stuff out there.
Where did her studies come from? Is she from a university or?
Yeah, she works at the Northside Clinic, and she also works at University of Melbourne, and she's done a PhD there in that area.
Yeah, more than twice as many lesbian and bisexual women have experienced physical, emotional or sexual abuse than heterosexual women.
And that's a scary statistic.
But, well, you hear about, like, physical abuse in heterosexual relationships all the time. Like,
Is it a hidden problem? And we've talked about this before, and certainly there's been something in the queer press that they've looked at, and it's very timely that we're discussing this because soon we're going to be talking to Di Ashwell, who's organising the Not One More event, which is remembering victims of family violence, and that's on next Friday. So it'd be interesting to talk to her about why, you know, the queer community should get involved in this, because lesbian relationships and gay men relationships do suffer, or there are instances of domestic violence.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, also is involved in a project as well about raising awareness about same-sex domestic violence, because it is a bit of a hidden one, and it's definitely quite prevalent, sadly. But there are a lot of positive things in that book too. You know, lesbian women and bisexual women tend to have more involved in sport, better positive body image, and you know, into sort of health things like complementary therapy. So we, you know, there's goods and bads, but it is a good booklet, and we are reprinting it in an eye-friendly size.
It's fantastic. There's like little blurbs about all of the different sort of facets of research that also have involved themselves in, along with, you know, places that people can go to get more information about those particular issues. Where? Oh, thanks, Nicola. Nicola told me to ask you where you can get hold of this little booklet.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess at the moment, because we're reprinting the bigger size, the best thing is just to let me know, which is gabrielle@also.org.au, if you want some copies, and I can get them out to you as soon as we get them reprinted.
Is there info on your website as well about the
project? That booklet, the PDF, is on our website, and there's more information about Take Care out there on the website, which is also.org.au.
And the booklet's called Outs and Ins, which I think it's quite cute.
Yeah, it's naughty. It's cute. I like it.
Cute, naughty.
Cute little booklet.
Well, thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in and joining us,
guys.
Gabrielle.
It's really nice to speak to you.
It's been wonderful. Yeah. And
joining us on the line tonight, this evening now, is Di Ashwell, one of the organisers of the Not One More event, which is all concerned with domestic violence. Good evening, Di.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well, thanks. Now, we've been talking all sorts of sexual health and wellbeing and also domestic violence within same-sex relationships tonight. Can you tell us a bit about the event and why it would be of interest to our listeners?
Okay, I've just got to clarify, it's actually the Walk Against Violence, our event that we're doing.
Oh, okay,
Not One More is being held on Friday the 27th, I believe, in Federation Square at night. Ours is a day event that's being held at Albert Park Lake on Thursday the 26th between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Okay, so there's quite a few.
That's a nicer setting.
There are certainly quite a few. It all started as part of the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which is November 25th. That's the day that's recognised worldwide. And there's events all that week. And our event is, as I said, on Thursday the 26th.
So what is the walk all about? And who's invited, and basically what's the aim of it?
Well, we're hoping to invite anybody that wants to come along. It's really about recognising, for men to recognise, to say no to violence and that violence is wrong, and try to encourage them to speak out against violence. And we don't want them to stay silent. We want them to sort of say, okay, this is wrong. We agree that we have to do something about it. So we want everybody to come together and listen to some really good speakers that we have lined up.
Okay.
To practically say, okay, we all agree that we want to do something about it. So we want men and women to come along, boys and girls, anybody that can. And as I said, it starts at 11 a.m. and we're going to do a little walk, which is only about 2.5K, so it's not all the way around the lake. We're starting at the Palms Lawn and then walking up to about the carousel and then back around. And then after that, we've got a barbecue, a free barbecue after it, which we hope everybody will stay around for and have something to eat with us.
And so, Di, you're hoping for a really good turnout, you know, not just of people that have been personally affected by domestic violence, but just people that really want to speak out against it with their legs, really.
Definitely, that's exactly right. And really, if you think about it, one in three Australian women experience violence some stage in their life. So it's probably nearly everybody would either know somebody or be related to somebody that's been affected by violence. So really, we've all got to stand up and say, you know, this has to stop.
One in three is quite a high statistic. Is there... Is there obviously there's a push to try and, you know, limit the amount of violent behaviour in our society. Is it just men that we're looking at, or is it also violence perpetrated by women, or is that a touchy subject?
Look, 90% of our incidents that police go to, the male is the perpetrator, and it's against women and children. Mm-hmm. So we do have 10% where women are perpetrators. And we also know violence occurs in same-sex relationships, and as I think I discussed another time on the program, that's really underreported. So we really don't know how many incidents are occurring there also. And we know violence with heterosexual relationships is underreported also, but the statistics we have is around about 90% of the perpetrators are males.
That's a big thing, though, that most of those incidences go unreported. Is that basically because people feel guilty or ashamed that they're in that situation?
Look, there's a lot of reasons. A lot of it is shame. A lot of it's women are depressed, so they really don't feel as if they're going to get help out there. And that's another thing that this walk's going to raise. There's going to be bags given out for all the agencies that can assist women and children and even men. There's going to be things in there from the Men's Referral Service, and that'll be saying how men can change their behaviour. So we're going to be giving lots of information. We're going to be talking about violence and saying that we don't accept it anymore and we want it to stop. And I think that's the really big thing, is actually, you know, raising that awareness and getting everybody together.
Fantastic, Di. Can you give us a few more of those details about the walk itself, how much it costs to get involved, you know, where it is again and things like that?
I certainly can. It's Albert Park Lake, and it's right down near the point, which is along Aquatic Drive, and it's called the Palms Lawn. It's on Thursday, the 26th of November. It starts at 11 a.m. and it finishes at 2 p.m.
Oh, wow. So it only takes about an hour to walk around the lake, so people will be walking all that time pretty much.
Yeah, they walk to and from. They're not doing the whole circuit. You don't want to, upset the
swans. No, what they'll actually do, they'll arrive there. We'll have some guest speakers, and these will be people talking about violence. Most of our speakers will be men, and they'll be saying why they think that we've got to, all the men have to stand up and say no, and they'll be giving examples. We'll have the Lord Mayor there, and the Chief Commissioner of Police is going to be, and one of the local MPs is going to be turning up, and a couple of other people that are involved with saying no to violence and who, you know, really want to show that they support the cause. And then we'll have the walk, and then we'll come back and we'll have a barbecue.
That sounds like an extraordinary event and an extraordinary initiative. Thank you very much for your time this evening, and we encourage everybody to attend Albert Park Lake on Thursday the 26th at 11 a.m. to hear the speakers.
A fantastic reason to leave work for a couple of hours for a good cause.
Have an extended lunch. Exactly.
That's right. Thank you for joining us, Di.
Thank you very much. Can I just leave the website where people can register their interest to attend?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's all one word, walkagainstviolence2009@hotmail.com.
Oh, that's your email address?
That's the webmail address, just an email address if they just
open
that up and send an email saying, I'll be attending the walk.
All right.
With five people or whatever.
Sounds great. We'll put that on our blog as well so listeners can get in touch and email you if they feel they need to register their interest for it.
And there's certainly no cost either, so we hope as many people can come along as they can.
All right.
Wonderful. Thanks, Di.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gosh, we've covered some territory tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a long walk. I was not meaning a pun. I think it's
sure
just because I just wrote down the Walk Against Violence email, which is walkagainstviolence2009@hotmail.com.
Hmm.
Just if you want to, you know, announce that you'll be going along. I think I'd really, really like to go for that little... I'm surprised it's not a walk around the lake, though. Why isn't it a full...
Oh, well, they probably just don't want to lose people, so they probably just do a little bit and then come back. But isn't it good that they've got all... Like, it's interesting, actually. They've got all male speakers there. So it's because it seems to be all about men speaking out, because it really... I guess the momentum has to come from men to stand up to other men or admit that their behaviour has been unacceptable or... criminal in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, Gabrielle, we were talking predominantly about women's stuff with Gabrielle, and she was saying that one out of two women experience, you know, emotional, physical, whatever violence in their own female
abuse.
Relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm just wondering where all that research comes from, because obviously, like, what the coppers send back
is kind of what Walk Against Violence is?
Well, that'd be probably pretty, you know, that'd be specific as in domestic violence, but I think the other is like, well, sexual abuse, other abuse could be homophobia as well. So people are taking them, not within a relationship at all, but,
within,
you know,
families and...
Yeah, we have families, friends, colleagues, whoever, the homophobes out there.
I think we could talk about this all night, but we actually have to go.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, bugger.
Oh, well. Oh, it's just come to that time.
I know, it's been fun. We've had, I've had a great time tonight, girls.
Yes, so have I. Thank you very much for joining us on Hear Me Roar tonight. We will, of course, be back next Thursday night from 7 to 8.
Mm, same bat channel, same bat time.
That's right. Good night, everyone.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.